This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome. This is Garden of Sound, brought to you with thanks to Mint Finance, business loans made easy. Today on the show, the Radlers. But first, we're less than a week away from Garden of Sound Live. It's happening at D4 in Woolston, Thursday, June 20th. There'll be three bands on the night. There's a Tuesday between a Monday and between a Wednesday. You may know them as Minnie and Nat from Household. There's Portland for a super cool five-piece from Kashmir High School. And Sneaky Caribbean Monk Seals, channeling a 70s rock vibe. Tickets are a super affordable $15 in advance and only $12.50, no booking fee, when you book four or more tickets. Be one of the best value gigs out there. And we'll be finished by 10 o'clock. So it's perfect timing for a school night. Book now by visiting gardenofsound.nz or jump onto eventbrite.com, search for Garden of Sound. You will kick yourself if you miss out on this one. Right, the Radlers, they've been around for just over a year. They've already clocked up a number of support gigs with bands like Marco Road and Molly in the Chromatics. 2019, however, might be a fork in the road for this fivesome, as they decide to have a crack at full-time music versus following the path of their chosen studies. This is Garden of Sound with the Radlers on Plains FM 96.9. Good afternoon, gentlemen. So, the Radlers, let's talk about the makeup of the band. You've got Chaz, and what do you do in the band, Chaz?
Rhythm, guitar, and vocals.
Kevin, yourself?
Yes, I am the guitarist. Do some backup harmonies as well.
That's good. And Liam, what's your responsibility within the band?
I'm the bassist.
Anything else? Do you make the tea? Do you get the biscuits?
I carry the amps.
Not
the bass.
Just the bass. Yeah. Who are we missing today? Because you're a five piece.
Yep. So we're missing Jack, who's our drummer, and Bailey, who's the main vocalist, and keys as well.
Yeah.
Chaz, I want to start off with you, as I normally do. Tell me about music in your life and growing up. When did sort of music into your consciousness?
Well, my family's not very musical at all. My parents don't really listen to music at all, so I didn't. Hardly ever.
Really? Was it a quiet home?
Yeah, quiet home. Dad still had some old CDs lying around. And then for Christmas when I was about 12, they got me those electric guitar packs that comes with electric guitar, amp. Everything you need to get started.
That's strange, going from no sound, very little music in the home, to, hi, here's the full-blown...
it was great. I mean, and it's funny because my brother and sister both got piano lessons when they were younger, hated it. I didn't get piano lessons, yet I'm the only one who plays music.
And what about singing? What about vocals? When did that sort of come on the scene?
I used to be a terrible singer. I remember my godfather told me, after I'd been playing guitar for a while, he's like, oh, your singing's gotten better. You used to be absolutely tone deaf.
So you see the two going hand in hand.
Yeah. So it kind of tuned my ear a bit. And then in intermediate and high school, joined all the choirs and the chapel choir and like the boys choir and all that, and had some singing lessons on the side and that.
Was it mixed or was it just boys?
Some of the choirs were mixed, some of them were all boys. The all boys choir, that was great fun. We put in a huge amount of hours for that and got some real cool kind of results from out of that. I always found the problem being in a choir, I don't really have like a blended voice, so I'd always get put way on the side so that I didn't stand out too much.
Well, it stands you in good stead. Kevin, tell me about music for you growing up. Tell me about the family situation.
Yeah, definitely different from Chaz's actually, because like my parents were both really into music. Like my dad used to be in like the marching band in school and everything, so he used to be into percussions and still is, and then he had like a guitar and a keyboard lying around at home. And then when I was about 6 or 7, I started like just chugging away at the keyboard, and then my parents saw something and they were like, oh, we're gonna go to classical piano lessons. And then I just went and didn't stop for the next 8 years. So I just did like the classical piano stuff, did a bunch of that. And then when I was about 9, picked up my dad's guitar and sort of taught myself how to play the guitar. Broke that guitar 5 years later, made my dad really sad. That's a separate story.
But how did, no, I do want to find out. How
do
did
you
the
want
guitar,
to
I do want to know.
Oh, I took it to school one day because we had like a musical sort of thing, and I was in the choir sort of thing, playing the guitar. But I was really wanting to play some football in the morning. So I brought my guitar, gave it to my friend. I was like, can you please take it to the class? Keep it safe. Go to class after assembly to find out. People are like, Kevin, something's up with your guitar. And then I open it and the neck just snapped. It's like completely shattered. And yep, so that's the story about that.
What were your parents sort of listening to? What kind of music were they listening to
growing up? Dad is very big on like the 70s, like the Beatles. You've got Elton John, Kenny Rogers was massive. So he's got like a massive collection of CDs that we used to just play around. And Eagles was a massive influence for me, which is why I actually picked up the guitar, because we had Hell Freezes Over concert from 94. So I just wouldn't stop playing that like every time before music class. I'd put that on and I'd line up, because I'd want to play drums, and so I'd line up all my chairs in my house, and then I'd use like plastic rulers as sticks, drumsticks, and I end up breaking all the rulers, but I'd have such a great time. And I just listen to a lot of Eagles, yeah.
Right at the other edge of this musical spectrum, yeah. Who would be your favorite classical composer?
Ooh, probably Chopin. Okay. Frédéric Chopin. Yep. Love playing his pieces. Love playing his pieces. Loved. Don't play it anymore, but
Liam, on to you. Tell me about music growing up, and tell me about the bass. When did that sort of come on the scene?
Yeah, so I started playing bass when I must have been 9 or 10. I can't remember exactly.
And how old are you now?
I'm 21.
21, okay. Yeah. 11 years?
Yes, yeah, about 11 years.
What attracted you to the bass? Or was there a choice?
There was a choice. Sort of all my friends in primary school were playing guitar or singing or playing drums. No one I knew played bass.
Why do you think that is? Because the bass is a brilliant instrument.
It is. It is.
Because guitar's an option, so people go for the guitar.
Is that, yeah, is yeah. that because of the glory?
The glory is cooler.
Definitely the appeal.
Yeah.
And what about training or musical tuition? So in 9 years of age, was it sort of bass lessons?
Yes, I had bass lessons with a guy over in New Brighton. He was great. Mike someone. And then he also, funny enough, in high school, I had a bass teacher called Todd, and Mike taught Todd as a kid.
Okay.
So it was sort of like a passing down. It was quite cool.
What about favorite popular music bass riffs?
I used to be a bit of a rock fan. Tool, great bassist, really groovy riffs. Melodic, I do like a good melodic bass line.
So what about internationally? Where else would you guys sort of say the Radler sound is influenced by?
When we first came together, we were really liking this artist called Tom Misch, over in the UK. Really cool artist, really like completely independent as well. A lot of Tom Misch and a bit of Jordan Rakai. These are like more obscure artists that we sort of listen to, and we're like, oh, they have some really interesting...
But there was some commonality there. Like, hey, have you heard...
Exactly, because we'd link different videos to the channel. They're like, oh, check this out, check this riff out or something. And it was just like, it would be really cool. And then we'd come together and then jam it out or something as well. Like, we'd just try a different idea, and it's because of these artists. They've got like the likes of Coldplay and Ocean Alley.
A huge thing though is that we've all had quite different interests in music and influences on our own, and then when you come together, you kind of take the best bits of all those. Well, at least you hope so.
Say come together. We're not talking about the Beatles, obviously, but the formation of the band. It is time for some music. I do want to find out how the band got together. We're talking about shared influences. Is there a track that you can all agree on, Liam? Is there something that the Radlers could all agree on that they'd like to play?
Yes, it's a Rush of Blood to the Head by Coldplay.
Why in particular that song?
Coldplay's kind of been like a common ground between a lot of us, and kind of a lot of where we started with our sound, and this is just a great track as well.
That's a perfect place to end. I was going to ask, because I was just thinking about, there is a point when a band, people start turning against them because they get too big. U2 is classic, because I was thinking about back in the 80s, Joshua Tree and all those amazing tracks that came out, and then a bit of reinvention, okay, we'll go with it. Coldplay, it's like they reach a point and it's kind of like, okay, now we just keep churning out albums, but they're a bit nondescript.
Definitely made it after Milo Xyloto. That was the last album I've listened to.
Yeah, it's just changed completely, isn't it?
All their new stuff's very, it's very like poppy, and it seems almost fake.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's almost like to sell shows, you know, like, because they can just throw a really good show because they have tunes like that.
But yeah, all their old stuff. I love their old stuff.
Really. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of Muse as well. For me, it got to a point possibly after the second Law, maybe it was even the second Law. And it was like, why are you just continuing to just put the same stuff out? There's the odd gem here and there.
Yep.
I think it's always tough for a band though, because they get to a point where they've done, I don't know, three great albums or four great albums or whatever. And then do they keep doing the same kind of music, or do they try and take a new tack, and or like and either way, people are either going to be stoked or unhappy with it.
Liam, Radiohead.
I'm a fan. I don't know too much about Radiohead, but there's some great tracks.
So following on from what Chaz said, maybe you're not the right person to ask, but they seem to have reinvented themselves sonically. But it's not like, it doesn't seem fake. It seems like these guys are artists, and there's constant reinvention and trying new things. Mm. And some things 100%. You look back at and you go, actually, yeah, I love that. I completely understand what they're doing.
Mm. So it's the same with Arctic Monkeys. I think all the albums, they've changed drastically. And through each album, they a whole lot of people get angry because they're like, oh, what's this crap? Yeah. And then they gain a whole lot of people going, this is awesome.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is A Rush of Blood to the Head.
He said, I'm gonna buy this place and burn it down. I'm gonna put it 6 feet underground. He said, I'm gonna buy this place and watch it fall. Stand here beside me, baby, in the crumbling walls. Oh, I'm gonna buy this place and start a fire. Stand here until I feel all your heart's desires. Because I'm gonna buy this place and see it burn. And do back the things it did to you in return.
If you can tell me something.
This is the Garden of Sound interview with the Radlers on 96.9 Plains FM. I want to talk about first concert experiences before we talk about you guys and how you got together. Liam, I'm going to throw it open. What was the first big gig that you got along to?
Funny enough, a Tool concert. So that was when they played, they came to Auckland in 2013, I think, maybe 14. I was too young
to
be.
It's quite recent, really, and they wouldn't have had an album out for, I guess, about sort of 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a weird tour, kind of, that came along.
Just doing it, keep the name out there. What was your what was your lasting impression of the concert, or what was your favourite track?
Oh, incredible! Schism, favourite track, great bassline. The light show was amazing. Just weird lasers just going off into Spark Arena. Crazy, good sound.
Mm.
It's phenomenal.
They are masters.
Mm.
Kevin, what about you? What was the first big gig that you got along to?
I grew up in the Middle East, right? And this is a bit
what
of a
country
sad story.
In the Middle East?
Bahrain.
Bahrain, yep.
Yep, grew up there. And coincidentally, not a lot of artists go down there because it's a very small country and there's not a lot of demand. So
is it dry country?
Very dry, yep. Very hot.
In terms of drinking?
No. Well, yes. Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Like, obviously, you're in a, you know, in a different society, so you can't really do it in public. But people do it. People find a way. But yeah, now that you ask me that question, like, I don't think I went to a... Like, I went to, like... I don't even know, to be honest. I haven't been to a huge gig.
What about your first big musical experience in Bahrain? There must have been some kind of...
Ooh,
shared music performance concert of some
sort? Yeah, yeah, because, like, my... parents' favorite artist from Sri Lanka, because I'm from Sri Lanka, that's another part of the story, would come to Bahrain and like perform. So I guess like we'd go to that stuff, those concerts, and that would be kind of cool. But obviously, like, that's a different kind of vibe. But then it was always something that stuck to me. I was like, oh yeah, that's so cool, playing on stage, playing to like so many people that enjoy your stuff. Like, that was probably an eye-opening thing for me when I was way younger. It's like, oh, I want to do that someday, you know.
Chaz, coming from not a very musical family, what was your first sort of exposure?
Would have been about 10, and my mate's parents took us to AC/DC at Western Springs.
Yo,
my God, it was awesome. Absolutely great time. I was absolutely blown away by that. They had flames coming out of the stage. And,
and Brian wouldn't have lost his hearing
at
this point. A real show.
Yeah.
Favourite track from that concert? Favourite song?
Probably Thunderstruck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whole crowd getting involved in that, and it was a great time. And then my mum gave me $20 for food, like $20 a night, and I didn't spend it on the food. I got myself the... You could buy these flashing red horns.
What? Priorities.
I know, yeah.
You
still
just
went
them.
Hungry. I think I still do, actually.
Oh,
yeah, I think they're
definitely
got to
make an appearance during your next show.
Yeah, yeah.
Something. It's the Radlers tribute to AC/DC.
Yeah.
So tell me, here's the big question. How did you guys get together? How did this fivesome become a unit?
There's a club at uni that organised jam nights.
What's that called?
Tunesock.
Tunesock.
Yeah. Yep. The Tunes Society.
Society. Yep. Tunesock.
Yeah. And place. So they organised jam nights. I was actually in charge of organising the jam night, and we were the last five standing.
Yeah.
Of about 20-25 people.
Yeah, it was about around midnight when people were starting to leave, and then we were just chatting with each other, and then we picked up the instruments and stayed for the next like 2.5 hours because we were just jamming out. We still have videos of like our first ever time jamming together, and like it's cool to look back on it. And
how long ago was this?
This was last May.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we played a gig 2 days after our first anniversary, and then we were like, and that was one of our best gigs actually. We got to jam out in our pajamas. lots of fun. Great sound. Yeah, it was a good time.
So how many gigs have you guys played together and over the course of the year?
Probably about 15, 20. Starting off, it was just a lot of like flat gigs and
21st.
Little 21st, and then...
So was it mainly covers, or when did the originals begin to sort of seep into the mix?
It was from the get-go, really. The kind of established early on that we didn't just want to be a covers band, and actually write some music and see what happened.
So, yeah. In terms of those 15 or 20 gigs that you played, what have been the highs and the lows, or is anything you've looked back on and gone, oh, never again?
The highs probably like playing at like a proper venues and stuff and to a good crowd.
What's been your fave venue thus far?
Winnebago's, Mark Arad.
Yeah, Winnebago's. We opened for the opener at Marco Rhodes concert or gig. Yep.
So you opened for Dolphin Friendly. Yeah. Ah, so you were the first act.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I was there before the fire.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. But I didn't realise it was you guys playing. Okay. How was that gig?
It was great. It was a lot of fun. Good. It was a shame about the fire alarm.
It was really good, though. Sound was really good. Like, the vibe was so good. Everyone was, like, super, you know, just close and, like, just so much energy that we were getting from the crowd, and that just meant, like, we enjoyed ourselves a lot more.
We definitely vibed off the crowd, yeah.
100%, yeah. That was definitely one of the highs.
And what about bad gigs? Anything that's gone horrendously wrong? Kevin forgotten his guitar or something?
The first flat gig?
Yeah, our first flat gig was pretty rough.
Yeah.
And it was, like, it was just on, like, someone's tiny little porch. We, like, squeezed all of us on there, and everyone there was absolutely hissed and kept on, like, falling on the equipment. And then at one point, some dude tripped over the power cord and pulled it out. And
yep.
Chaz gave him a bit of a shove.
Yeah, pushed him off the patio.
So in looking back, is there anything that you would sort of do differently? Is there any other direction that you would have taken in the last year? Any other opportunities that you think, damn, we should have jumped on that?
I think maybe we could have pushed ourselves more in terms of playing gigs, getting our music out there, but obviously we're all pretty caught up in uni, and it was sort of a bit of a difficult time to, you know, figure out what we were doing.
Yeah. And I think early on, like, we were so invested in writing new material, like, because it was always something that was part of the process. We always would come to practice, and then we just end up jamming and writing new stuff. So for us, we were very like passionate about actually having material to then go out and be like, hey, this is us, let's gig or something. So I think it was only like the turn of this year when we realized, okay, we've got a decent bass and we've got like decent music that we really enjoy playing and people seem to like to listen to, so let's actually go out and like do a lot more. And I think we've started out pretty good this year anyway, just getting gigs like externally. Like the beginning of May, we were approached by Molly and the Chromatics when they were doing a tour of New Zealand, and we opened for them at the Wonder Bar for their Christchurch show, which was really fun because those guys are really cool as well. So
how did you get on their radar?
Oh, they messaged us and they're like, you guys were recommended by like three bands that like you guys were sick, like we'd love if you opened for us. And so we're like, oh man, that's a cool opportunity. And we established a really good connection with these guys, and they've got some really good music as well. So it was really fun to like establish relationships. And we have been very recently as well with a lot of bands up in like Auckland and Wellington as well, like Half Moon Baby and a few bands like that, which is really cool.
I do want to talk about the writing process and producing, especially your new single. But first off, have you got a fave track?
Long Train Running by the Doobie Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I actually sang this, I've sung this song in my band at school, and there was like almost like a signature song of ours. And then I brought it to these guys and it was one of the first covers we learnt, and has become one of our signature songs as well.
Central Freight, keep on pushing by mud, and go there running late.
Thanks for being with us today. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Garden of Sound is sponsored by Mint Finance. They've been around since 2014, offering finance to business of all sizes through secured and unsecured loans, starting out at just $5,000 on terms of up to 5 years. Obviously, T's and C's apply on all business lending. The best part is Mint Finance are super easy to deal with, and they know what they're talking about. That's because they understand business and what you as a business owner need from a finance partner. If you've got a great idea and just need the finance to see it through, get in touch with Mint Finance today. You can call them on 0800 666 023, that's 0800 666 023, or visit mintfinance.co.nz. That's mintfinance.co.nz. This is the Garden of Sound interview with the Rattlers on 96.9 Plains FM. I want to talk about your new single, Teskey, which is a bit more upbeat than some of the other tracks you put out, which is sweet, according to me. Tell me about the writing and B, the production process for that. So how did the song come into being?
It was just at a practice, and I was just jamming some chords, and that kind of came out of it. And just kind of happened, actually, the full chords of it, and then we just based everything else around that. I was playing around with my delay pedal, and like that opening guitar, that like kind of jerky delay.
The good thing, like Jack, for example, the drummer, he's super versatile, and we've had quite a lot of like different ideas come in when we jammed, but Jack's someone that just like picks up something and he's like, what about this, let's try this out. And out of Chaz's, like, you know, jamming and stuff, Jack just came up with this really cool, like, well, what you heard in the drums is what he was coming up with, but he was just like throwing out so many different cool ideas with like fills and whatnot, and then that's sort of how the vibe just kept going with the song, because like he was carrying it really well with the drums. So yeah, like the writing process was very random.
It normally like is for our songs, yeah, to be honest. It's quite organic.
Who's responsible for the lyrics?
Me or Bailey. But they normally come last.
Yeah.
And they normally get the vibe going. to have something written down on paper.
And why Teskey? Where does the name come from?
That was super random. We were talking about this trio called the Teskey Brothers.
Yes.
Yep. They were coming down. They were playing in Christchurch. Around the time we made Teskey, and then we were just talking about. We're like, oh, they have some Pain and Misery. They're hit, and we were like, oh, that's such cool, like it's a very nice vibe. And then we were jamming out to Interlude A, which is going to be on our EP, which we initially were going to have in Teskey as well, and then we were jamming out to that, and then we made Teskey, and then we were like, oh, what do we call the song? And then we just decided Teskey.
Yeah, we just called it Teskey for now, and then just kind of stuck.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, that sounds pretty decent, cool.
Liam, tell me about the production process for this particular single. How did it sort of
all went down in Chaz's room, kind of recorded it all.
It's the home studio, as we like
everything
to call
goes down in Chaz's
room. Yes. Yep. So it was recorded just in a very sort of, I guess, I don't want to use the word budget, but in a very sort of
very budget, yeah,
boutique
yeah.
style.
Yeah, boutique, yeah, 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 yeah. We've got a interface, and we bought some. So the other two tracks were just the same, done in our rooms.
Bedroom recordings, yeah.
Bedroom recordings.
I wouldn't have picked bedroom recording. The actual finished product sounds a lot better than a bedroom. And I know it's amazing what you can achieve these days, but I was thinking studio somewhere. Was there any external producer involved?
Absolutely not. No.
We squeezed the drums into my room, bought some drum mics, did the drums, and then recording everything else on top. As simple as that. And then
a lot of hours
just fiddling, and I was doing most of the mixing. And I mean, Teskey's only the second song I've really fully mixed.
Credit to you. It sounds fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I do have to ask the question: has anyone in the band ever owned a distortion pedal, ever?
No. But funny story, 2 days ago, just bought a Tube Screamer Mini.
Fantastic.
Ooh. Yep.
I think we should hear the track. Yeah? Should we hear it? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So what's your favorite part within the actual song?
Breakdown.
Breakdown. Yeah.
The very end of the song, I love the guitar over the top. The distorted guitar.
It was distortion.
It's a very messy part, but intentionally messy. We just like, this is the part of the song where you're just going to go crazy. It's like such a fun song to play live. Mm. We wanted that to reflect in the recording as well. Just have a bit of like, just going everywhere in your ears as well. So Jazz has done a really good job with like panning and like just making the whole
there's some really good stuff going on there. Here it is. This is the Rattlers' new single, Teskey. This is the Garden of Sound interview with the Rattlers on 96.9 Plains FM. We just heard Teskey, which is a wicked track.
Yum.
Recorded in Jazz's bedroom, where everything goes down.
The magic happens.
What else you guys want to do? It's 2019. It's around about the middle of the year. What are the plans for the rest of the year?
About a couple of months ago, kind of put down the idea of getting this EP out and then maybe another one by the end of the year.
Two EPs.
Right. Yep. So this one, all the songs are written. We'd been writing since we started as a band, but pretty keen for the new EP to be all new tracks.
Sort of like follow a theme as well, right?
Yeah, and all kind of write them all together, and so they follow kind of similar vibe and theme. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And what about touring to support those tracks?
So we're thinking release show in just in Christchurch for the first EP, and then, like Chaz said, do the second EP, and depending on how that goes, hopefully do a tour of New Zealand end of the year, or like November.
Yeah.
Because a few of us are going to be away for the like December, January, so like try and do it over a few weekends in November.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be really good. And like we said before, like we've been talking to quite a few bands like up north and just around, so it's like really good to establish that connection that like, oh, let's just jam together for a gig or something, you know. Yeah. So
tell me about the management situation. Is there thoughts about sort of getting anyone to push you further, or just quite happy to be the five of you doing your thing?
No,
we haven't really thought about it. Have
I haven't really thought about it or even talked about it, to be honest. But it's just kind of us doing it all at the moment.
Yeah,
split between us.
So if we were looking at maybe not idols, but let's say bands that might be a couple of rungs above you in New Zealand, is there anyone that you'd sort of like to follow their progression?
Probably, yeah. I mean, we've played with Marco Road, which is great. It was awesome to see how they kind of did a show, how it all went down.
Because they got the promo machine going. They've been over to Oz as well and done a little bit.
Because they were like us, you know. They started as a covers band, and we saw them at the Battle of the Bands which they won, and then they released The Sun Comes Up, and then they just blew up since then, you know. So it's a great model to look at them, and like they're doing it all by themselves as well, and like it's just a good model that like you play for your friends, and then like you put out originals, people like it, and then you just go and, you know, throw a show together.
So here's a big one. When you talk about they're doing it all for themselves, they've got support, but they've also got a brain between them, which is quite good. So what were you guys studying at Canterbury?
So I'm studying civil engineering, so I've got another year to go on that.
Yeah.
Yep. Commerce. This is my final year.
Okay.
I was doing English literature first semester, and then I switched to commerce second semester.
Okay, so there's a bit of... There's a bit of thinking that goes into those.
And then Jack did engineering. Jack does engineering as well. Bailey did geography. So.
Okay, so you're all over the place. So what is the plan? Because you've got these potential careers ahead of you. I mean, it's a fork in the road, really. Do you want to go off and like do music full time, or do you want to, you know, sort of keep the serious stuff?
I think
stuff?
Some of us in the band are pretty, keen to do some music.
Yeah.
Not forever. Or, you know, if it comes to that point, we could. But, you know, for the next few years, some of us would be pretty keen to take it, a step further.
I think it'd be a shame not to give it a crack.
Absolutely.
I think it's kind of an opportunity to kind of do something different and have a bit of fun along the way.
While we're still young.
Yeah.
And we've just put so much time into it as well, like just the effort and admin and stuff. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't want it to go to waste. And, like, we're building that base now, and people actually like listening to us and like watching us, so
I mean, I could definitely do it full time.
Me too.
Yeah, I think it's like good now that like we've sort of established that we want that second EP to come out as well, so it'll be good to have that like repertoire, the discography of music out there, so that we can still continue next year and just like, you know, hopefully do more shows.
Who would you guys like to work with in the future? Anyone sort of internationally you'd like to sort of collaborate with or play with? Or any festivals even that you'd like to get over and check out, play at?
Nest Fest.
Where is that?
That's in Hawke's Bay.
That is New Zealand one.
Started up this year actually, this summer, this January. It's really good. Like it was a bunch of Dunedin bands, in fairness. Like it was The Shambles, Mild Orange, and Marlon's Dreaming. So you've got it was a really good vibe as well. So that's definitely something I'd personally like to do.
And I guess in the future we could look at Australian festivals.
That would be very cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Thanks so much for being on the show today, guys. It's been lovely to talk with you and about your new release, Teskey, which is a very, very cool track. We do have time for just one more song with you. I always say One for Luck. Anything that you guys would like to push out right now?
Yep. Ocean Alley's got a really cool track called Partner in Crime. We'd love to hear that.
Beautiful.
Great song. A bit Ocean Alley.
Yeah. Mm.
Why? Why is Ocean Alley sort of such a thing for you guys?
I think it's just good music. It's not trying to push to be too poppy, but it's I know it's advanced but still catchy and like
yeah.
They're kind of doing their own thing, got their own sound going on. We actually covered or saw them recently when they came to Christchurch.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got good variety.
Yep.
Yeah, you just don't hear one thing in the track. Oh, like in all their songs, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, the Rattlers. It's been lovely to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Time for my track of the week. It's a bit of electropop with a quintessentially Kiwi twang. This is South Coast from Wellington artist Lake South.
Bloody nice to see you after all of these years, heartbreak and healing and fleeing the fear. Breathe in the harbour, we know the weather. Talk shit about friendship, never knew better. Oh, I know you're mine. Oh, I know the night, and we all got secrets covered. Oh, I know you're mine. Oh, I know the night. Funny why we keep alive. Funny why we keep alive. It's funny why we keep alive. Bloody good to know you. Time makes these things heavy. Drive to the South Coast. Drive, drive, drive. All that smoke and worry. I'd see you listed, but we never risk it. Peace in a parked car. Pull your head in, pocket out. Never forget the ocean. Never regret the swim. We all had secret lovers. Loved it. The first place we got high. Funny when we keep alive. Funny when we keep alive. Funny when we keep alive. It's funny when we keep alive. It's funny when we keep alive.
That's all for today. My guests were The Rattlers. You can find out all about what they're up to, where they're playing next, and their new single Teskey by visiting gardenofsound.nz, clicking on their picture on the front page. From there, you'll be able to hear more about all of the acts we talked about today and link through to The Rattlers' social media. Remember, Garden of Sound Live is happening Thursday the 20th of June at D4. Tickets are a crazy $15 to get in, and for that you get three very original Christchurch bands and an alcohol-free setting, which is great for a school night. Just head along to gardenofsound.nz to book or eventbrite.com and search for Garden of Sound. Next week on the show, a positively magical Christchurch artist by the name of Ari Freeman. You may know him from Rhomboid or as the Blues Professor. This has been Garden of Sound, presented by Mint Finance. Business loans made easy. Until next week, keep well, keep listening, and keep playing. Haere rā.